Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices of Hope Radio with Minister Kim and Lady Quarterback LaTanya, where your voice can be heard.
Hello, Voices of Hope family. How are you doing today? You really, really don't know how grateful I am to be with you today. It has been a wonderful week. I'm excited to share some of the awesome things that I incurred this week. But the show, today's show is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be uplifting. I need you to just hit us up on Twitter, which is Voices of Hope Radio. I want to shout out to our children. Some already have returned to school. Some are preparing to start on Monday. And here in New York, we go back September 7th. But guess what? Because you are back, we just want to encourage you to do your best. Amen. And we praying for you that you will excel this school year. And we are looking to hear some amazing stories from you or your parents. Just make sure that you write us at info@themorningglory.org. And for you parents, OMG, we are definitely praying here at the radio for you, because I know it's rough sometimes getting back into that routine, but nothing is impossible. Nothing is, because guess what? I got to do the same thing. Not only am I preparing my little girl, but I'm preparing myself this year. So I'm grateful for God, what he is doing in my life. We have some back-to-school events that are taking place in our tri-state, and we're going to have our radio angel share with you later on in the show. So stick with us, hang out with us, and enjoy our guests. In the meantime, grab your pen, get some paper out, and begin to take some notes when we come back right here on Voices of Hope Radio with the founder and executive director of the Misunderstood Youth Development Center, no other than Terry Ebony, when we come back on Voices of Hope Radio.
What people may say, they believe. To think how we think is far from okay. But I believe it's never okay to abandon your dreams. And it just so happens that our dream is to lift up a holy king. See, this is my life, my choice, and I choose to lift up my hands. And please don't be alarmed if when the music comes on, I begin to dance and run across the room.
Welcome back, Voice of Hope family. Are you ready? Because guess what? Our guest is here, and she is truly amazing. I will tell her story, but guess what? It's best for her to tell her own. Amen. You know I talk about tell your story. Tell it. So she's definitely here to tell you her story. And this is for all you moms. I wanted to make sure that we had something just geared to you. I know we always have entrepreneurs on and they talk about their business, but we're going to have a heart-to-heart sit-down, parent-to-parent, mama-daddy talk today. All right? So wherever you at, whether you in the kitchen throwing down the breakfast, you know how we do on Saturday mornings, or ready to, you know, rush out, you know, get to the beauty parlor, do what you need to do, get the chores done. Make sure that you remain tuned in. Amen. For this awesome show. Welcome, Terry. Welcome. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me on, Minister Kim. It is a pleasure to be here to talk to you guys today about parenting, about the Misunderstood Youth Development Center, about my book, Losing Love, Having Faith and Finding Hope. Parenting and youth is my my first passion, my first love.
Awesome, and it is a pleasure for you to be here with us, especially when you hear so much about our families in trouble. And the most irritating part of that is that society publicly blasts the church family, that the church family, like majority of those who are going to the divorce court, are the preachers, right? Those who are believers, and they're like, well, you know, they got trouble in their home. Well, we are human beings, just like everyone else, but overall you hear that there's trouble in the homes, from parents splitting up, children wanting to commit suicide, children with violence. It's like the whole gamut of the family, from the adult to the children. You know, growing up, I would hear this word called dysfunctional. Oh, that's a dysfunctional household, meaning that everything was just out of order. You couldn't find any balance. So I'm so grateful that that is your first passion. I'm grateful that you're a parent, that you have some experience, and that you have this awesome book that will help guide us, called Losing Love, Having Faith, and Finding Hope. So we are excited to just dive in and tell us first a little bit about yourself, and then let's talk about parenting today.
Wow. So a little bit about me. My name is Terrell Ebony, and I have a about to be 23-year-old son. And I started getting involved in parenting and youth development when he was about 5 years old, and, well, probably even a little younger than that, but I started to notice some changes in his behavior and started to relate those changes to the changes that his father and I were going through, because we were going through a split at the time. And I realized how it was affecting him, not necessarily having that, you know, that family dynamic as he was accustomed to. So I started looking around for counseling for him, and I wasn't able to find any in my community. And I started speaking to other parents, and he was telling me, my son was telling me, that even in, at that time he was in elementary school, that some of his friends were going through similar situations, and he was asking me if I would talk to them, because him and I had a very good communication, a very good relationship, and he'd come and talk to me about anything. But I realized that he had an issue talking to other people. But even to that extent, I realized that his issue wasn't really talking to other people. His issue was that the adults in his life weren't asking the right questions. So I started the Misunderstood Youth Development Center back in 2005 to give young people an opportunity to have a place where they can come and express themselves free of judgment. Too many young people didn't feel comfortable talking to their parents because they didn't feel that they could relate. They didn't feel that they were being heard. They didn't feel like they were being understood. They felt like they were being judged. So I wanted to give them that environment where they could just come and be themselves and talk and express themselves, talk about what was going on at home, what was going on at school, what was going on, you know, wherever, and not feel like you were going to be judged, or not feel like you weren't going to be heard and you were just going to be told what should happen or what could happen and how you should feel, but you had an opportunity to actually be human and actually render your own opinions and talk about how you actually feel, opposed to being told how to feel. So I started doing, you know, as I started doing that, I had to communicate more with the parents, right? Because these are young people. And the more I started communicating with the youth, is the more I started to realize that a lot of the issues came with the parents, or was because of the parents, and it was causing our youth to go in the left direction opposed to the right direction. So I started to say, well, you know what? I can't continue to help the youth without helping the parents. We have to find some resources to help these parents, because they were in turmoil as well. They were going through, they were overworked, overburdened, overwhelmed, frustrated, you know, going through so many different things. They're human as well, but yet still they have these children that are relying on them. So I started studying more about parent development as well, because of course so many people say there's no parent books. And I'm like, yes, there is. I don't know who said that there's no parenting books, but there absolutely is. There are absolutely a lot of parenting books that people can read about. And there is a right and a wrong way to do certain things as parents. There are certain signs that we can look out for. There are certain things that we can do to make our children's lives a little bit easier and to make ourselves, our own lives a little bit easier. So that's how I started my road to coaching. So I started off more as a parent and youth coach before I became the life and business strategist that most people know me for today.
Oh, that's a blessing. Before we even go to commercial, before I get the red flag, I want to talk about how effective is communication, because that right there can be our whole show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that right there could be our whole show. How effective is communication, whether it's that 2-year-old, that 5-year-old, or that 16-year-old, or that 23-year-old? Because there's different age, there's different things that are going on in that child's life throughout those stages of their life. How important is it for communication in all of that?
So communication is important in everything that we do, especially when we are trying to forge relationships with people, regardless of whether it is a parental relationship, whether it is a spousal relationship, friendship, whatever it is, communication is always key. The one thing that I realized in parental relationships and, you know, for parent-child relationships is that parents tend to feel, especially parents, I've noticed it more from West Indian parents and, you know, parents of yesteryear, they feel as though their word is the final say. And in certain cases, yes, that's absolutely true. But when you're trying to get your point across and we have to understand that there's still a level of respect that has to be given in order to be received in return. So communication is very, very important. There's verbal communication and there's nonverbal communication. A lot of times parents listen more for the verbal communication and miss a lot of the nonverbal communicating factors and indicators that show that there's something wrong. So when your children are going through things, the first thing that I say is look for the nonverbal communication, because that's what happens first. When your child starts to shut down or starts to, you know, roll their eyes and, you know, give the attitude, that's the nonverbal communication. That's the first time that says to you something might be going on and I need to stop and figure that out. We need to then, you know, use the verbal communication to say what's wrong and dig deeper into it and ask a lot of questions. Do more asking than talking.
Mm. Okay, so I'm just getting visual on this because I'm a visual, right? There's some key things here. So I want to have a conversation with my 12-year-old cousin who I'm raising, right? And I know exactly what you're saying, you know, the rolling of the eyes. I could see when I've lost her in the conversation,
mm-hmm.
tuned
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying ask instead of just talk to. I've heard don't talk at her, like don't talk at her.
Absolutely.
Like, right. But then it becomes when you talk about ask, and it's like you're drilling them. You're asking me too many questions. Why you want to know that? Why you want to do that? So how do you break the ice for open, effective communication at this level?
Okay, so the first thing I would say, yes, at those ages, it is a little bit harder. So for the new parents, start that line of communication as early as possible. So this way they get used to you asking a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. But for those who are now getting into it, because it's never necessarily too late, it may be a little bit more challenging, but it's never too late. And you answer the question, oh, you're asking me too many questions. That's my job to ask questions. I love you. That's why I'm asking you these questions. I care about what happens to you. That's why I'm asking you these questions. I want to make sure that you're doing what's in your best interest. I want to make sure that you're safe. I want to make sure that I know what's going on. I want to make sure that you feel comfortable coming to me. And I will ask you because you may not just voluntarily tell me. So I have to ask. So answer their questions as honestly as possible without being aggressive. because we have a tendency of doing that. You asking me so many questions. Well, just answer my question then, and that's going to shut them down. Well, you know, if you come at them, they're going to come at you kind of aggressively, and if you retaliate and be just as aggressive, guess what? That's a negative plus a negative equals a negative, right? So we don't want to do that. We want a positive. At the end of the day, your job is to get the results that you want. So that means that you, if that person is coming at you negatively, you might have to take a deep breath and come at it from a different angle so that this way you get the results that you want. So if you see that they're combative, say, well, what's going on? Why are you so combative? Why are you acting that way? Why is it a problem for me to ask you these questions? Am I offending you? You know, did something happen? I know you might not be used to me asking these questions, but I really want to get more involved in your life. And I think that it's very important that parents acknowledge when they do wrong, or adults, period, acknowledge when they do wrong, acknowledge and apologize for things that they've done to hurt that child's feelings. So if you haven't been involved, apologize for that. You know what? I haven't been involved. I can admit that. I had some things going on. I'm human. I was overwhelmed, whatever. And I apologize, but I want to do better. I want to get involved. So I want to be able to have this relationship with you. Speak to them. Mm-hmm. Let them know that you're human. Exactly. Yes. Let them know that you are human, and let them know that you make mistakes as well, because when you make it seem like you're so perfect and you can do no wrong, then guess what? That automatically makes them bring up a wall, because if you're perfect and you can do no wrong, that means that I'm always imperfect. And if I'm always imperfect, that means that I'm wrong at the gate. So what's the purpose of having a conversation?
That, right. You already convicted me. So why?
Why are you even having a conversation? Because I'm going to be wrong. Regardless of what I say, I'm going to be wrong. So let me not say anything.
And would you say this here? And after this, we're going to go to a commercial break, because I am getting the red warning. Okay. Would you say that is because our children perceive us in this way, because we're aggressive, they're combative, it gets to a point that when they shut down, that they shut down. And now, and I use this terminology last week's show in reference to that silent frustration. So now this
Absolutely.
Child has just bundles of frustration, emotional layers of frustration, and one day that is going to explode.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one thing that parents don't seem to understand is that although a child does not have bills and does not have responsibilities, the one thing I used to hear growing up is, what you got to be upset or frustrated or overwhelmed about? You don't got no bills. You don't have no frustration. You don't have adult problems. Guess what? Problems are problems. Whether they're adult problems, child problems, money problems, they still problems. So don't negate your child's issues because they don't match your issues, or you don't think they match your issues because you don't know how those issues are affecting that child mentally. Because everybody handles things differently. So your child may be going through some things, and may be going through some things that you don't even know about because you're so busy with your issues that you haven't even figured out that this child is being bullied, or this child is being molested, or this child, you know, has dyslexia. This child's eyes are not, you know, right and need glasses. But all of these things you missed because you were so busy in your own world, going through your own stuff, that you failed to see some of the telltale signs that something was going on with your child. So those are the things that we have to make sure that we see, and those are some of the nonverbal communications that I was talking about. Your child is automatically starting to dip in their grades. That's a nonverbal cry for help. Something's going on. These are all things that parents need to look out for, but they don't, because they're so caught up in their own drama. they're so overwhelmed. They got two, you know, some of these parents have two jobs. Some of them going through a divorce or going through a breakup, you know, got financial issues, you know, like about to be turned off, about to be evicted. Whatever the issue is, it's overwhelming them. So that's all that they're thinking about. And they don't even realize that they, what they're doing is really neglecting their child in this, at the same time.
And while they're neglecting, there's someone else that's embracing them. And this is where
they're the gang members.
Separation. Yes. And you have the gang members. You have the drugs, the alcohol.
Absolutely.
The negative behavior that causes the truancy, the arrest. And now you got a child that's incarcerated. You wonder how your child get there.
Absolutely.
How did you get there?
Absolutely.
It starts at home.
The sad part about it is that most parents, I would say 85 to 90% of the parents would not look in the mirror and say, you know what, I could have done something different. 90% of the parents will say, that child is bad. That child doesn't listen. That child, what do you mean? That child didn't just start off not listening. There was some breakdown in the foundation of your home from young. It didn't just happen overnight. This was an accumulation of things that happened. Now it's starting to manifest through the truancy, through the bad grades, through the fights, through the drugs, through the alcohol, through the pregnancies, through all these different things. Now you're starting to just see it more. But it was there all along. You just weren't looking. You just weren't paying attention. You just weren't asking the right questions. So it's a matter of not necessarily laying blame, but taking a good look in the mirror to say, how can I do better?
Right, exactly, exactly. When we come back, I want to talk about something that's biblical. That talks about, and ye fathers, provoke not your children. And this is exactly what the first portion that we're talking about, how we can be aggressive and we are provoking our children to have that silent frustration, to leave home and get into different types of activities and, you know, behaviors that will lure them into the prenatal system. We'll be back on Voices of Hope.
Starting a nonprofit is an exciting experience. It gives you an opportunity to turn your passion for giving and serving others into a reality. However, starting a nonprofit also comes with a lot of challenges. Many organizations fail before they launch by not knowing how to set up their organization correctly. Don't get frustrated trying to navigate through the IRS tax-exempt paperwork to start a nonprofit, register your charitable organization, or even if your status has been revoked. Let our professional staff do the work for you. We are helping nonprofits run like for-profits. Schedule your discovery call today by visiting our website at thenonprofitcoach.org or by calling 240-547-8780.
Welcome back, Voice of Hope family. I hope that you are tuned in. When I say tuned in, that you have your writing pad and your pen and you're writing these nuggets. There was so much that Terrell just said in reference to parenting. And I need to say this. We are not here to down you, to degrade you, saying that you are a bad parent. No, that is not. This is a radio show that provides hope. We inspire you. Just like she said, look in the mirror. Look at this as an opportunity to change your situation around. Whatever is going on in a home, I mentioned this before we left around in reference to that scripture that talks about father. You know, fathers, don't provoke your children. We have provoked our children. I'm going to say this here because this is our show, right? I can say what I want here. I pay the bills here. So we are creating beasts, monsters. We're creating children who have no passion or no consideration for mankind, for human being, for life. When a young person, 10, 12, 15, can take a gun and shoot their peers or even think about how they can plot to hurt another human being. We got a problem.
Yes, yes.
And I add that with, I remember not when I was young and my mother was going to the parent-teacher conference, but when my children were young and my youngest was going through. I remember being called in, and a teacher, you know, would say, you know, parenting starts at home, teaching starts at home, we have to collaborate. And that's what she was saying, you need to check what's going on at home, mother.
Yeah.
Directly, absolutely. And she was on point. You know, so I was like, what's she talking about? What's going on? You know, you get defensive, but it's true. They call you in because they want to meet you and see what you're about. Because that behavior didn't happen overnight.
It absolutely didn't. It absolutely didn't. And I remember when I wrote the book, Losing Love, Having Faith, and Finding Hope, and it was essentially about a lot of the different things that I witnessed my son go through as his father and I were separated. And a lot of that stuff, when as I was writing the book, I tell people, when you tell your story, you're telling the story, yes, to help other people, but you help yourself in the process.
Yes.
And I had to, you know, I didn't want the book to be, you know, bashing the father. You know, it wasn't about male bashing or father bashing. It was about telling the truth. And it was about telling that truth so that it could help another family, another mother, another father, another child. So mm-hmm. I had to take a look in the mirror, and I had to acknowledge my part in the situation, because it takes two to tangle,
mm-hmm.
and it takes two to tangle. It takes the two of you to create this child, and then it takes three of you to create a family. So if that family breaks up, everybody has to kind of look around and say, okay, well, what part did I play? What could I have done differently? Where could I have, you know, increased, or where should I have decreased? Because sometimes you need to decrease so that other people have an opportunity to increase. We have to start taking control of our children and stop having our children take control of us. That is a large part of what is going on right now. It is that overcompensation, because I didn't have when I was growing up, I'm going to give you everything that you want. So now you don't value anything because it's being handed to you on a silver platter. Guess what, parents? That is destroying your child. I am sorry. Yes, we do want to give our children everything, but it's not a good thing. They should earn it. They should have to earn it. That's the overcompensation, because one parent may not be in the picture, so you feel like you got to do more to overcompensate for that other parent. No, it's not your responsibility to overcompensate for what another parent can't do, because guess what? Regardless of how much you give that child, you cannot replace that other parent. So all of what you think you're doing, you're not doing. Because at the end of the day, if that child still wants that other parent, the child is still going to want that other parent. And no matter how many sneakers, no matter how many games, no matter how many outings, no matter how many trips, no matter how much food, no matter whatever you do to overcompensate, that's still not going to bring that child what that child really wants and what that child craves and what that child needs, which is that other parent. So we have to make sure that we are doing what is truly in the best interest of our children and not setting our children up for failure. And this is another big one. Oh, my goodness. This is a big one. I made this mistake. I said to myself, you know what? I want to put my child in a home. I want to make sure my child has a house with a backyard and all these other great things, right? Guess what? My child didn't ask for all of that. My child did not ask for all of that. My child was pretty okay in his apartment. He still had his own room. And even if he didn't have his own room, he was still content with that. Why? Because that's all he knew. So when we turn around and say, well, I want to put my child in a house, but yes, so we can't really afford the house. So now we got to work two jobs or three jobs in order to pay the bills for the house. Then we say, well, you know what? I'm doing all of this for you. You should be appreciative. What you mean you're doing it all for that child?
Come on.
That child should be appreciative. That child didn't ask for all them things. You decided that that's what that child should have. That child didn't ask for it. But now you have to work three jobs. Now you're tired. Now you're overworked. Now you're frustrated. Now you can't spend time with the child. That is what the child actually does need. The child don't need a house. The child needs you, but you can't get you because you're so busy working.
Mm. And what is that about, though, Terry? Because, see, you have to come. This has to be a part two. Because what is that?
Don't get me started now.
What? Well, we didn't got you started. What is that really about? Because it's not about the child. And the sad thing on our part is we don't see what it really is about, but the child sees what it's about because they never was included in the plan. We said, like you just said, we talk to our children. We tell them what to do. We never ask them. We never include them. We never make them a part of the family. This is why when the gang leader comes up and make them a part, that's why they join it, because that's what they've been yearning for. We're missing the mark.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. You just gave me an email. Yes.
They're allowed to have choices with the gang members. Would you like to do this? Would you like to do that? I think you should, you know, how about you do this with me? Let's make this decision together, right? How would you like this? How would you like that? It makes such a huge difference. And I'm not saying that for everything. Let's be clear. A parent is a parent, and the parent has to be the parent. So there are certain decisions that you have to make. But there are times you have to pick and choose your battles. There are times where you should include your children in the decision-making process. Make them feel like they have a voice. And when you make them feel like they have a voice when they're young, that means that they'll know, respect, and own their own voice as adults. That means that people won't be able to railroad them when they become older. Understand that what you do with them as children is what they're going to manifest as adults. That's where we're missing the mark as well. That's where we're missing the mark. Right now, I notice in today's society, it's, oh, you know what? I don't want my children to work. I don't want them to do anything. All I want them to do is go to school and get a good education. Then once they go to school and get a good education, they don't want to work. Why? Because you never told them they had to work. They don't know how to do chores. Why? Because they didn't have to do chores. All they had to do was homework. So now they're lazy. Now you want to call them lazy. Now you want to tell them that they're good for nothing. Now you want to wonder why they don't want to work. Now you want to downgrade them. But when you look back at it, it's your fault because you did not ingrain it in them from the time they were young. You weren't teaching them how to cook.
We got
you weren't teaching them
young
how to
people
clean.
On
you
weren't teaching them. I'm sorry.
Look. Okay, I'm trying to tell you. Why? Because they don't want to work. They don't want to work.
Yes.
When we were growing up, there's a reason why our parents had us working at the age of 14. There's a reason why there's some youth employment. There's a reason for these things. There's a reason why there's chores. There's a reason why you start teaching your children about money and economic development and budget. There's a reason why you teach them these things young. There's a reason why you give them an allowance. Regardless of how much it is, they need it. There's a reason for it. I know that a lot of parents today don't like a lot of things that we did yesteryear, but guess what? It worked. Yes, there are certain things that need to be changed, but not everything needs to be changed. There are certain things that work that need to remain the same.
You need to go back to the fundamentals. I'm telling you.
I'm trying to tell you.
You said so much stuff, and it's true. We had chores. We had responsibilities. We had accountability.
Look.
Right?
These kids today,
so
they don't have much of nothing.
And this is what I'm saying, cliche, we had so much. What we had was more valuable than what they have now, because our children now have the materialistic portion of life, but they don't have what's going to take for them to live, thrive, and make it. Because if you go today or tomorrow, and if they get your life insurance policy, and they don't know about how to manage or budget, honey, you will be turning over your grave because they never knew the value of money. OMG.
Why do you think so many houses went into foreclosure? Why? Because when the parents died and left the children the house, they didn't know how to manage the house because the parents died without teaching them how to manage the house.
We need a tutorial, 101. I'm telling you, you know, look, again, I'm not bashing because I'm a mother.
It has nothing to do with passion. It's
oh my God! It is what it is.
It's facts. I tell people, I can tell people half of these things. Why? Because I've been there. I write it in my book. You read my book, you can see I'm not the perfect parent. But because of my experiences, because of the things that I saw with my son, because of the things that I went through with his father, I can sit here today and coach people on what to do, what not to do. And because of the education that I received on the backs of that. And I've talked to so many parents. I've talked to so many youth in throughout the years that I can tell you exactly what's going on within the first 5 minutes that you're sitting in the chair with me. Whether I'm talking to the kid or whether I'm talking to the parents, I can tell you what's going on in this home.
Awesome. We're going to have to go in the green room because we're going to do something today that I do this periodically. I hope you tuned in to hear what I'm about to do when we come back on Voices of Hope Ready with Terrell Ebony. We'll be back.
What's up, everybody? I'm your man, Norris J. And right now, I want to start a movement, an INJ movement. You see, in this day and age, our world, NJ. Our universities, NJ. Our youth, NJ. Our government, NJ. NJ. I need Jesus. So when you wake up in the morning, say INJ. When you're at work, say INJ. Wherever you are and you feel like you need Jesus, say INJ. And remember, INJ. You NJ, we all NJ. You heard it from NJ.
Welcome back, welcome back. I hope that you are enjoying this show. And you don't have your defense, those walls up. Listen, 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 listen. We are here to save our children. We all have hit some pitfalls, but we can get back up and take these nuggets and make a difference. Our children have been screaming at the top of their lungs because they want our attention. I'm encouraging you to change your schedule today. If you was going to do something for yourself, something for the house, it's not worth. What I need you to do is do something with your children today. Have that one-on-one conversation. Now, if you are the ninth caller, I am going to hire Terrell just for you for 15 minutes. She says she needs 5 minutes. I'm going to give you an extra 10 minutes. And then we're going to autograph a book for you. And I'm going to ask her to follow up with you. I don't want you to endure what you had to endure last year. But it's going to be up to you to be the ninth caller. It's going to be up to you to say, hey, I need help. Because when you admit that you need help, then help comes. And you'll be receptive to what help has to say. Am I correct?
Amen.
You're the coach. All right, I'm just making sure. So we have this book. I want them to get excited. I want them to get excited. So we're talking about losing love, having faith, and finding hope. Now, losing love is talking about the father, having faith, talking about the mother, and finding hope is your son. So you're talking about your family. You're talking about the trials and tribulations, and you're telling your story. You're telling your business, right? Nobody else got to tell it. You're telling it, but you're telling it to encourage the reader how to start looking at their family, whether they're married or not, but to look at themselves and look at the offspring, the blessing that God has given you. I love it. I love it. So things are happening in your life and you decide to take a pen and you write, what inspired you to not only write but to publish the book? Because, you know, a lot of us, we got a lot of pre-books, books that that could have been, you know,
books on the shelf.
Right.
I will say this. After going through everything that I went through with my son, it was not an easy road. After speaking to all those parents, after speaking to all those youth throughout the years, I knew that my story could help others. And that was basically it. I knew that there were too many parents that their story sounded very similar to mine, and they felt like they were the only one going through this. You always hear parents say, especially single moms, you always hear them say, "You don't know what I'm going through." But yes, I do, lovely. I've been there, done that. I do. I absolutely do. So I wanted people to understand that not only are there other people going through it, but you can get through it. You don't have to stay in that same situation. Dad, you can turn this thing around. You don't have to stay in that same stagnant place. You don't have to keep making false promises. Mom, you don't have to keep overcompensating. You don't have to keep carrying the burdens of mother and father because you are only the mother. That myth, that theory that, oh, I'm mother and father, no, can't never be. Can never be. You are a mother. You are a nurturer. Yes, you may have double duty, but you can never be a father. I'm sorry. You can never be a mother. I'm sorry. You do not have the equipment. It is impossible. So we have to make sure that we stay in our lane. We have to make sure that we put ourselves in a position that if you can't coexist with the parent, the other parent, guys can't co-parent, then it might be a situation where you have to get other males, like I had to do, to help fill in the gap as a father. But I'm not going to try to beat the father. I'm going to get other father figures. You may not try to be the mother, but you may get other mother figures to stand in the gap. But understand that regardless of who you get to stand in the gap, your child has to be the first priority. So all that anger you're feeling, all the pressure that you're putting on the other parent, all of that is irrelevant, and all that the only thing that it's doing is causing more friction and more frustration and more concerns for your child. And then your child starts feeling like it's their fault. Then your child starts feeling like they're in the middle. Then your child starts feeling like they have to choose between parents. These are all things that not good. It's not good, and it's our fault. It's our fault. So I put it out there in the book, and I laid all my dirty laundry out on the table so that people can see you're not alone. But guess what? You can get through it. You can change it. Look and learn from what I did. I also, besides just telling the story, as a parent coach, I also have commentary as a coach to say, look, stop. Learn a lesson here. Figure it out. Do something different. Hear the signs. Look for them. The book is powerful. Use it accordingly. That's what it's there for. When you see people write books, they're writing it so you can learn something, not just so you can read and get a juicy, gossipy story, but it's so that you can take something away from it, something that can help enhance you and your family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is so powerful. There is so much in your message that you're conveying today. You bless me. So I know that my blessing definitely has to be a blessing to our audience. Don't forget, be the ninth caller, and you will receive that one-on-one consultation with Terrell Ebony. You will definitely, I will give you that 15 minutes and definitely a copy of her book. You have to get it. Losing Love, Having Faith, and Finding Hope. We have to come up, and we got to recognize where we have fallen at so that we can do better. You do better for your family. You do better for the community, and it becomes contagious. And the numbers in our prison cells and our youth facilities will decrease. Our children's scores will increase. Them telephone calls that you normally get throughout the school year from the teacher, the principal, the guidance counselor, they'll decrease. We'll start collaborating, working together as one big family. Will there be obstacles? Yes. Will there be trials? Yes. But we'll learn how to handle them better, wiser, mature. And everybody will win. Everybody, even if you're going through a divorce, y'all will come out winners still because you learn how to co-parent. You learn how to get along.
Yes.
You learn how to bring other people. Let's go back to the fundamentals. It takes a village to raise a child. That's how they did it. I grew up in the 60s, and it was a struggle for my mother, a single-family home, but we did it. And I say we because my mother made me a part. I had to be accountable. I had to be present at the house. She wanted to know my feelings, my concerns. And I thank her for that. So it's very important. We got to get you back on. There's so much that you do. I know you talked about what you're doing now, but we talked about your passion. We talked about you as a mom so that you can inspire other mothers that are listening today, and even the dads that are listening, because I know we got some male listeners, so we never exclude you. But whatever role you play, auntie, godparent, take this information and run with it. Utilize it for your family and then share it with your neighbors. Amen. But we also have to talk about finding your purpose. So we definitely want you to come back on for part two when we talk about, because we didn't even get to the misunderstood, the foundation that you have. No, we didn't get to that part. So we definitely going to have like three part series, okay?
Look, there is so much. There absolutely is. And I truly appreciate you, having me on, and for people who, you know, may be interested in just, you know, reading up a little bit more, want to reach out to me for some of the things that I do, and go to my website, www.terrellebony.com, TerrellEbony. I know my name is a little complicated. So they can just go onto my website and, read up a little bit about me and, you know, feel free to contact me, especially if you're going through some parental issues. You know, I consider myself now, I kind of encompass everything from business to life, parenting, mm-hmm. everything in one. So I consider myself a life and business strategist. So if you are going through some, you know, some life changes and they're affecting your parenting, or, you know, your children are going through something, definitely reach out to me. Don't feel like you have to go it alone. Don't feel like there's no one that you can turn to or no one that you can talk to. There definitely is. That's another problem that we have in our communities. We feel like we have to keep everything secret and what goes on at home stays at home. No, I'm sorry. When I was raising my son, I told everybody everything. I was like the first one. They said, what's going on? How you doing? I wasn't one of those. I'm like, everything is good. Everything is good. No, I'm telling everybody everything because you never know who is able to help
you. No, that's right.
Okay? Look, I was telling everybody everything, okay? Nothing was a secret. So when you act up, I'm telling. When you do good,
right.
I'm telling everything because mm-hmm. you never know what person may be able to either offer you some advice or may be able to talk to your kid and, you know, set them on a different course that can
mm-hmm,
change the trajectory
mm-hmm.
of their life. So definitely reach out to someone. Do not keep it bottled up inside of you. Do not, you're the ticking time bomb when you do stuff like that, you know. You will just explode after a while. So don't do that. There are definitely people out there that you can talk to, and I am definitely one of those people.
Well, we thank you so much for embracing our platform, being a blessing to our listeners. And don't forget, be the ninth caller to have that one-on-one consultation, and you will definitely be blessed with her copy. Amen. Losing love.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Gotta have faith, y'all. Finding hope. That's what we do. And guess what? Life goes on. Whatever path that you're on, you got to keep enduring. But always tell the truth and ask for help. We thank you so much. We're definitely going to have our executive producer get you back on because we need a part two of this, and we definitely want to hear more about your tour the next time you come on. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your weekend, and we definitely will speak soon. Welcome back, welcome back. OMG, what an awesome, awesome guest this morning. Terrell Ebony, OMG. Please check her out, www.terrellybony, E-B-O-N-Y. Learn more about her, but she came on strong. I thought she was preaching, but guess what? She was, because she was giving us information that's going to save our families, amen, bring some stuff out and bring some stuff into our families that we need, amen, so that we can make this world better, because we need to show some love. We need to show some love. I'm so excited. Don't forget, I told you to stick with us this morning. Our radio angel is coming with our community announcements when we come back on Voices of Hope Radio. We'll be back. First and foremost, the first thing I want to say that's going on in the community is that we have a new website. It's the same address, themorningglory.org, themorningglory.org. It's still the same, but guess what? This website looks so wonderful. Wonderful. And the best thing about it is that when I'm telling you what's going on in the community, all I got to do is look at the website. Yeah. So let's get this party started. Let's get this party started. Let's get this party started. So now I'm on the website. Now I don't have to really keep notes and stuff like that. So now I'm on the website, and all I got to do is look. Let's see what's going on. What's going on in the neighborhood. Okay. So first thing I'm going to talk about is back-to-school giveaways. Come on now. Back-to-school. I can't even believe that people are going back to school already. Jeez, it's like the summer just flew by. But we got a couple of things. So we got the back-to-school giveaway, which is taking place August 16th. August 16th at 2 to 5 p.m. Let me tell you where the location is. This is a Bronx event, a Bronx event. It is being held at the NYPL. What the fashizies is that? NYPL. Oh, sorry, Soundview Library. Oh, New York Public Library. That's so funny. Oh, Lord, forgive me, guys. But anyway, it's taking place at the Soundview Library, which is located at 660 Soundview Avenue, right here in the Boogie Down Bronx. That's the back-to-school giveaway. So that's taking place on the 16th. Let's see what's going on now. Back-to-school resource fair and school backpack giveaway. That's taking place on August 19th between 12 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Let's see. Brook Avenue and Westchester. So this is an outside affair. So children must be present and accompanied by an adult to receive a backpack, one backpack per child, until supplies last. You see, I love this new website because all I got to do is go read. I don't have to, what you call it, take notes like I used to. Let's see what else is going on. Oh, my goodness, there's something else going on. The back-to-school fair, backpack, and school.
school supply giveaway. Join us for a day of fun, activity, games, giveaways, and valuable information for you and your loved ones. Backpacks and school supply giveaways. Woohoo! Why they last. Children must be present to receive backpacks. All children must be accompanied by an adult. Where is this being located at? Bronx River Community Center. That's located at 1619 East 174th Street, Bronx, New York. If you need some information, here's one of the telephone numbers you can call and see. 914-230-7312. 914-230-7312. Do, 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 do. I'm just pushing down on the thing. What else is happening? All right, guys, come on now. Listen, 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 people. Listen, listen, listen. I need you to come and jump on our new website because I need you to get all this information for the pitch your business. Listen, you don't know this, but so I'm telling you this now. The young lady who's actually running this, we are running an ad, as you can hear. Ooh, excuse me. Minister Kim, I need some of my alkaline water. Oh, I'm choking over here. Come on, stop it. Oh, she's over there teasing me. But anyway, back to this. Women on the Rise has a contest, a pitch your business contest. Now, listen, she said that the deadline day was the 15th, August 15th, but she's extended it one whole week. One whole week. Do you hear me? One whole week. So this event takes place on September 9th. Now, I'm going to need you guys to go to the website. Yeah, I know you're like, come on now, Cam. Knock it off. Yes, I need you to visit us on our website. I need you to go to the website because all the information you need for that is there. Not to mention, it's on our Facebook page, Voices of Hope Radio, so please make sure you join us. Oh, wait a minute. Hold up. As you're on the website, because, you know, I'm playing around with the website and everything, listen, I clicked on the info, and guess what? You can submit your fee. You can submit your application. You can do all of that stuff. Oh, my goodness. And it says here, join the Women on the Rise. This is fabulous. Well, anyway, just click on it on our website. Just click on it, and all the information you need is there. All the information for all the events is there when you click on it. So, woo-wee, what else is happening? That's right. Mark your calendar, September 29th. September 29th. Doors open at 6:30 for an evening of chocolate, strawberries, and salsa dancing. That's right. Your girl is back at it again. PIP Women Rock presents an evening of chocolate, strawberries, and salsa dancing. Listen, we got tickets going on. Tickets are $20. $20 online, $25 at the door. We have partner tickets. That's 2-for-1. And then we have PIP perk tickets. So make sure you go and hit the for more information on our website and do what you got to do. So I'll see you on the 29th. Hey, hey, what's up? What's up? What's going on? Unlock Your Dreams. Unlock Your Dreams. Black Brilliance. That's happening November 11th. Guess what? I'm going to be there. Mark your calendars. Mark your calendars. I'm going to be there sharing with you and talking to you about how to protect yourself with identity theft and all that good stuff. So mark your calendars, November 11th, November 11th, 2017. Okay, let's see. Let me see. Let me see if I see anything else going on here. Let me see, because we got lots of stuff going on. Let me see. I'm looking really quickly. I'm looking for something, and oh, here it is. I love this new website. Y'all guys got to get on it. I'm loving it. The colors is the bomb. It's nice. Well, anyway, as you all know that this is a prayer ministry, so we can't do nothing without prayer. So I want to share with you some information. We have Breakfast for Your Soul, which takes place Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen, I'm going to give you the number real quick. However, if you don't have your pen, make sure you join us at themorningglory.org, themorningglory.org. So the conference number is 641-715-3633. 630-641-715-3630. And the secret code to get in is 100-3997-POUND. One more time, 100-3997-POUND. Now, for all my moms, it doesn't matter whether you're a godmom or you're a regular mom or you are auntie mom, it doesn't matter. As long as you got that mom attached to you, guess what? We have a prayer line just for you. Every Monday, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. And the call-in number for that is 218-862-9377, access code 9874-POUND. So the number is 218-862-9377, and the passcode is 9874-POUND. Listen, guys, all the information that I've talked to you about and more is on the website. Listen, we got a brand new website. I'm encouraging each and every one of you to go on there and join it. Guess what? We got places where you can just drop this in there, drop that in there, drop this in there, drop that in there. What do I mean by that? Well, you won't know until you go check out the website. So we will see you again next Saturday. Thank you so much for joining us, family, and being in the virtual living room. We don't take it for granted that you could have spent your time anywhere else, but you came into the living room with us. And so, therefore, we love on you even more. Have a good and phenomenal Saturday. Thank you, Radio Angel. Please take note of all of our community upcoming events. And if you would like for us to promote what's happening in your community, please let us know by sending us an email at info@themorningglory.org. It's easy to spend time with your family and not talk at all. Many parents and kids often are attached to cell phones and iPads, and although just a few feet from each other, never exchange a word. Research suggests, however, that just talking about school can have a significant impact on your child's achievement. Talking with your children is one of the most critical steps of healthy parenting. Young children begin their first fascinated by language and communication. To the small child, a mother's or father's words are important, comforting, and soothing. Use this to your advantage. Start intimate communication as early as possible. Remember to ask questions, and if you're new at it, let your children know that you're starting something new. We love you, and we pray that you enjoy this show today. Until next time, keep hope alive. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to Voices of Hope Radio. Connect with us on Facebook. Remember, whatever you have going on in your life, never lose hope. God bless.